This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi amma ba'du. This is our second darus, inshallah ta'ala, as it relates to some of the characteristics of the Ibadur Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as it relates to the Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah, and their dealings with the Book of Allah in light of the fact that this is the blessed month of the Qur'an, the month of Ramadan, Shahrul Qur'an. We mentioned last week the ayat of the Qur'an in Surah Al-Furqan, that the Prophet will come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yawm al-qiyamati, and he's going to complain about his community. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, my people have abandoned the Qur'an. Want to deal today, inshallah, azwajal, and doing the subsequent lessons about this issue so as to encourage ourselves in the community to be of the people who are doing the right thing in terms of being connected to the Book of Allah and doing our level best to avoid being from the people who are going to be mentioned today, those people who have actually abandoned the Qur'an, because the abandonment of the Qur'an means a lot of things. Today we'll begin by saying one of the meanings of abandoning the Qur'an is not learning the Qur'an. And this masjid, the masjid of Alul Hadith, I think the vast majority of the people who attend this masjid, the members of this masjid, if you will, we are not Arabs. We are non-Arabs, Ajam. So we don't know the meaning of the Qur'an. Nonetheless, we have a religious responsibility to connect ourselves with learning about the different sciences of the Qur'an, and they are many. And there's a lot of virtues as well in learning and teaching the Qur'an. The Nabi of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, informed this community, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best of you, the best from this ummah, is the one who learns the Qur'an and then he teaches the Qur'an. So that is a dalil that goes to show the importance of learning the Qur'an. And as I mentioned, there are many sciences of the Qur'an. We have to learn about the science of tafsir, the explanation of the Qur'an, to the best of our ability. We have to learn about a science that is called an-nasikh wal-mansukh, where certain ayahs abrogate other ayahs. Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, saw a man who was teaching the people, and this teacher used to just tell stories. Stories about this happened and stories about that happened. I know a famous story concerning the imam who came to the house of a family, and there was some money on the table. The imam, he took the money and he put it inside of the Qur'an. He got up and he left. The wife said to the husband that the imam has stolen the money. And they were afraid to bring this to the attention of the imam. They had su'adhan about the imam. And then finally, they approached him and they said, listen, imam, the money went missing. When you came, you stole the money. The imam said to them, I didn't steal any money. I saw the money that was there, but I took the money and I put it in the Qur'an, go and check it. So they went and checked the Qur'an, they found the money in the Qur'an. A whole year had expired and the money was in the Qur'an. So people will tell you that story, which isn't true, and it even could be criticized, because if the imam came and he saw money on the table or something, it wasn't the imam's business to touch anybody's money. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, min husni islam al-mar' تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. From a person's good Islam is leaving alone that which does not concern him. So that story actually goes against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. It's a famous story. When we hear it, it's a nice story. It can benefit some people. Ali ibn Abi Talib saw a man who used to give those kinds of stories. He said to that man, do you know the nasikh and the mansukh? Do you know the science of what ayahs were abrogated and which ayahs abrogated them? The man said, no. Ali, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, may Allah be pleased with him, told the man, you are destroyed and you're going to destroy other people. You are astray and you're going to send other people astray. So we're not a group of people who tell stories like that, and we rely on stories. So as it relates to this, it goes to show clearly the virtues of learning the Quran and the sciences of the Quran, the science of asbab al-nazul, learning when and why certain ayats were revealed in the Quran. So the point here is the Muslim has to learn the book of Allah. Allah mentioned the Quran, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Read the Quran correctly in Arabic. In Arabic. Not in English, not in Spanish, German, not in Dutch. Read the Quran correctly in Arabic. So you have to learn at tajweed how to read the Quran. It's one of the sciences of the Quran, and there are many. From that which shows the virtues of learning the Quran is a hadith that I mentioned last week, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam asked his companions, which one of you would like to go to the place where the camels are, the camels of zakat? And he comes back every day with two fat, voluptuous camels without committing any sin. He didn't steal the camels. He didn't rob anybody. He didn't stick anyone up. He goes every day and he comes back with two camels. They said, all of us will love that. He told them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for one of you to go to the masjid and to read two ayahs of the Quran, or to learn two ayahs of the Quran, the tafsir, then this is better for you than two camels. The companions of the Prophet, like Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us the dua of al-istikhara, salatul istikhara. And he used to teach us the khutbatul haja, inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu. He used to teach us those two issues with the same emphasis that he would teach us a surah from the Quran. So he used to teach them the Quran, and they used to learn the Quran from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companion said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum would sit and teach them the Quran. And while teaching the Quran, if he came to an ayat that tells us to make sajda, Rasulullah would make sajda in the middle of the dars, in the middle of the class, the presentation, and the companions will make that sajda along with him. So all of that goes to show that learning the Quran is from what is an obligation upon the Muslims, especially in light of the fact one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyam is that the Quran is going to be taken away to the point and to the degree that the Quran would not be in the earth. Not even one ayah would be in the minds and the hearts of the Muslims. So learning the Quran, the Prophet will complain to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, my people have abandoned the Quran. And that is the condition of many people. And as I mentioned, it's a dalil and a proof that the Prophet was divinely inspired, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because how did he know that was going to happen? His companions did not abandon the Quran. So he wasn't talking about his companions. He was talking about what was going to happen later on. That many people were listening to me right now, they don't learn the Quran. So right now, the blessed month of Ramadan, this masjid, Green Lane Masjid, every day they are given a Quran tafsir class, 3 hours from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. By our brother, Sheikh Dr. Ahsan Hanif, Ahsanullahi Lehi. Tremendous class, wallahi, tremendous class. The recitation of our brother, our student, the son of our brother, Ibrahim, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. The little brother, the young brother, is reading the Quran in Arabic with tajweed. And it's nice, his recitation. And then he reads the English. And then Dr. Sheikh Ahsan Hanif gives the explanation. 3 hours from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Someone may say, oh, that's long. I can't possibly take all that time to sit for a class. Why not? They're giving you a break within those 3 hours. And for your information, Ikhwani, in the blessed month of Ramadan, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and other than him from the Salaf of the ulama of al-Hadith, al-Hadith, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, those scholars, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, used to read the whole Quran in one day, the same day, every day in Ramadan. That would take about 10 hours to complete the whole recitation of the Quran. 10 hours. They would do that in the month of Ramadan because it's the month of the Quran. And Imam Malik he would stop teaching hadith. He would turn to the Quran and just start reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. So if Imam al-Bukhari spent 10 hours in the Quran having ulu al-himma, high determination, then we can at least make the effort to come and to learn about the tafsir of the Quran while you're just sitting there in the comfort of your own home. It is an opportunity to learn the Quran. Also, from the meanings of abandoning the Quran, in addition to not taking the time out to make yourself and to position yourself and your children to learn the Quran. Yes, your children. Because what happens, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, أولادكم من سعيكم. Your children are from your efforts. So if you take your child and put him in a position where he or she can learn the Quran, it is to a certain degree like you're learning the Quran. You'll get the reward of that child learning the Quran, but it doesn't exempt you, mother, father, doesn't exempt you from also trying to learn the obligation of learning the tajweed and other aspects of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second meaning of abandoning the Quran, and they are many. We will not exhaust all of them talking about a few each Friday in the month of Ramadan because there are so many. Wallahu musta'an. From abandoning the Quran is not believing in the Quran or believing in part of the Quran, believing in some of it and not believing in other parts of it, embracing some of it and not embracing other aspects of it. This is a problem. Allah Ta'ala said to Bani Israel with a su'al al-inkari, it is a question of refuting them and rebuking them. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do you people believe in some of the book and you disbelieve in other parts of the book? And what is the reward of the person who does that except that he will be debased يوم القيامة. In the dunya, he's going to be debased. And Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to go to a serious punishment that has been prepared for him and is lying in wait for him. So believing in all of the Quran, especially during this time where normative Islam is under threat. We have those people who want to be liberal. They want to be free. They want to cherry pick as it relates to what to believe in and what to practice in the book of Allah. So the Muslim believes where the Quran says that the Quran is the speech of Allah. The Muslim believes in the story of Isa, Musa, Ibrahim, Yaqub. He believes in different aspects of the Quran, even the miracles. Like the greatest Quran, the greatest miracle that the Prophet came with was and is the Quran. But there are other miracles like Al-Isra wal Mi'raj. She believes in that. But then when it comes to the hijab, she doesn't believe in that. When it comes to a man being allowed to have more than one wife, for an example, she doesn't believe in that. It's just an example. That's how people are. So the issue here is believing in the book of Allah. Oh, my Lord, some of my people, they have abandoned the Quran and they made hajr of the Quran, and that they don't believe in it correctly. They don't believe that the Quran is muhaymin. It is superimposed and over every other piece of literature, every book, every newspaper, every other book, the Quran. The Quran should supersede everyone's opinion, everyone's culture, what he has to say. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله. Oh, you who believe in Allah and believe in His messengers and believe in the book that He revealed to His messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is an ayat commanding the Muslims to have iman in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentioned another ayat of the Quran, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدَى فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُحْزَنُونَ. When my guidance comes to you, the guidance of the Quran, the hidayah of the Quran, the nur of the Quran, when my guidance comes to you, whoever follows the guidance, then there will be no fear upon that individual, nor would those people be afraid. They won't be sad. So by believing in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be divinely protected from having inhiraf, going off the mark. We will be divinely protected from having fear. Fear of what the non-Muslims can do to you, what your enemy can do to you, what's going to be the future of Islam, and so forth and so on. So there are a number of ayat that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned showing that it is an obligation to believe in the book of Allah Ta'ala. He mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. Verily the one who has made the Quran fard on you, Muhammad, he's going to return you back, يوم القيامة. فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ. فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ, the Quran is fard. What does it mean, fard? Fard means wajib. You have to do it. It's an obligation. Verily the one, Allah, who has made the Quran fard upon you, ya Muhammad, and upon your community, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will return you and all of your community and everybody to him, yawm al-qiyamah. What does fard mean here? It means the one who has made it fard upon you to believe in this book, to believe in what it has brought and what it says. And in believing in the Quran, that in and of itself is a lecture by itself, and it means many things. It is that we take all of the Quran and not cherry pick. It is also to believe that the Quran is unadulterated and it cannot be, you know, tampered with. Allah described the Quran and he said about the Quran, لا يأتيه الباطل بين يديه ولا من خلفه. The Quran, falsehood cannot come before it, in front of it, nor can falsehood come from behind it. And that is because it is the book of Allah. So therefore, it is an obligation upon the Muslims not to abandon the Quran by having the wrong type of belief in the Quran. And this is why those brothers and sisters who are giving dawah to Christians, we have to be very careful about saying things like, Allah said in the Quran, in the Bible, God said this, God said, we have to be careful because maybe Allah didn't say those things and we shouldn't be using other books and sources as the primary source of our dawah when we can avoid that. We shouldn't rely on our intellect. When the Prophet said, khairul kalam, kalam Allah, he meant that. The best speech is the speech of Allah. And he said about himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith. Allah has revealed the best speech, and the best speech is the Quran. So you'll find an individual, he'll give a lecture, the whole lecture is void of him mentioning one ayat. Instead, he'll say, Sheikh so-and-so said, our Sheikh so-and-so said, and Sheikh so-and-so said, and the Sheikh so-and-so, and it's like a broken record, like a parrot. He'll give a khutbah, and you won't hear one ayat of the Quran. It's just the Sheikh so-and-so said, and the Sheikh so-and-so, and I did this, and he starts to talk about his own personal life and stories. This is not acceptable in the deen of Allah. So believing in the Quran, it entails many things. Believing that the Quran is nur, believing that the Quran is appropriate, it is munasib, it is relevant. It is okay for every time and every place. Sometimes you hear people sarcastically saying things that are actually statements of disbelief. The person will say, well, are you telling me that I should believe in this and this and that, which was mentioned in the Quran, as if he's having doubt in it? That's hajr of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned in the Quran, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه إلى آخره. Verily the messenger, he believes in what was revealed to him. And so do the believers of this ummah, all of them believe in Allah and the books that Allah revealed, in the malaika, in his messengers, salawatullahi wasalamuhu alayhi. As for those people who make hajr of the Quran in this way, but not believing in it, then this is a sign of kufr, and a person puts himself in a very serious position Yawm al-Qiyamah. What happened to Bani Israel is just that. Allah Ta'ala mentioned about Bani Israel, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِي. Believe in what we have revealed to you, Bani Israel, which is musaddiq to that which you brought. The Quran supports the Torah, the Injil. The Quran supports that. So believe it. And don't be the first of those who disbelieve. He mentioned another ayah of the Quran, وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Concerning the Quran, the ayat bayinat from the Quran, those ayat, Allah said, no one disbelieves in them. No one disbelieves in them, except that the people who have fisq, they are the people of evil, evildoers. So with that being the case, learning the Quran and believing in the Quran in its totality and everything that Allah mentioned in it and about it. Number three, from those things that we will mention concerning abandoning the Quran, and this is an issue in reality, that shouldn't be. Ma yambaghi, it shouldn't be. Because it's easy to do for the one that Allah makes it easy upon him and for him. And it's difficult for the one that Allah Ta'ala has not given him tawfiq. And that is, from abandoning the Quran, number three is not listening to the Quran. Just disengaging oneself from all of the activities that are around him. And if he doesn't want to totally, absolutely disengage himself, then partly disengage himself. For an example, it's the month of Ramadan. And we're not too far from Salat al-Maghrib. And this day would have been over. Inshallah. So the lady is in the house and she's cooking. So in the kitchen, she has the Quran playing. So she's listening to the Quran while she's doing her cooking and so forth and so on. Everyone is in the house and the Quran is playing. They play Surah Al-Baqarah in order to keep the shaitan out of the house. And at the same time, they're listening to the Quran. So the kid is growing up and he's listening to the Quran as a part of his life. I know as a child growing up in America, as an African American, we have our own culture. And music is a part of our culture just like it is a part of everybody else's culture. And I remember like it was yesterday, crystal clear insight. I mean, it's crystal clear. Even with me fasting, it becomes even more clear because as we fast, our minds are really clear. I remember growing up and the music and the sounds that were beaming in my house, in the rooms of my house, when my mother was cleaning up, when things were happening, when we used to go to parties, when we used to go to picnics, when we would go out on a family outing. We would wake up for school and my mother would play the radio, play songs. That to this very day, if I were to hear some of those songs, they would take me back to that time. Then I say what Allah said in the Quran, asking the question, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Would you people exchange that which is better? You take that which is better and you put that aside and you take that which is worse? So you take that which is better, which is the Quran, put it on the side instead of playing it in the house so the children can grow up on that, listening to that, being acquainted with it. Put that on the side, and then we play music, Arab music, Indian music, whatever African music, hip-hop, whatever it happens to be. So the Quran, listening to the Quran, not listening to the Quran, ibadullah, is one of the signs of the non-Muslims of Quraysh and the non-Muslims in general. They do not want to listen to the Quran. Allah mentioned and described their situation in the Quran, and he said about those non-Muslims, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَأَلْغَوْا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. And those who disbelieve, they said during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَسْلِيمٍ كَثِيرًا, they said to their friends, to the other non-Muslims, don't listen to this Quran. Don't listen to the Quran. And when it's being recited, make noise over it so that you will be the ones who are victorious. Because the non-Muslims of Quraysh, they actually knew that the Quran had the ability to affect and to impact. They used to warn each other, don't go listen to Muhammad because he's going to mesmerize you with his magic and some of the suvvich from the people. You know, the ones who are riffraff, the people from society who don't think for themselves. They just fly with every wind that comes. They used to listen and they wouldn't go. But there would be some people who say, don't tell me what to do. I'm smart enough to be able to discern what I hear. I can tell if it's true or if it's not true. And they would go and they would listen to the Quran. And then when they would sit and listen to the Quran, they would go back to Quraysh and say, hey, this is not the speech of a human being. Some of them would go and they would listen and they would accept al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الحق يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا. Tell them, ya Muhammad, tell your community, the Muslims, the non-Muslims, tell the world, verily it has been revealed to me, I've been told, I've been informed that a group of jinn were listening to the Quran when I was reciting it. They were listening to the Quran. And when they listened to the Quran, they came and they told each other, Ansitu, be quiet, be quiet. And they sat and they listened. And the Prophet was reading, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After he finished the recitation of the Quran, they got up and they said, this Quran, it is an amazing recitation. It guides to arush, the guidance. And as a result of that, we believe in it. And we would not make shirk with our Lord. And then they went back to their people, mundhirin. The jinn went back to the jinn and they started giving dawah ila Allah. So the Quran, by merely listening to it, it has an effect and it has an impact that the scholars call al-ijaz. It is a miracle and it is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, إن في ذلك لذكرى لمن كان له قلب أو ألقى السمع وهو الشهيد. Verily, this is a book that is a reminder and it is a remembrance for the one who has a heart. He has the ability to contemplate, to reflect, to understand. And it is a remembrance and a reminder for the one who gives to it his listening, his undivided attention. And he is paying heed, and he's taking heed. He's listening. So abandoning the Quran is not to take the time out to just sit down and just to listen to the book of Allah, even if you don't understand it, to be moved by it so that that qira'ah and that recitation, that Quran, it causes you to have even more iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it relates to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah used to listen to the Quran. He was sitting with his companion, one of the ulama of the Quran, a scholar from the companions. His name was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. May Allah be pleased with him. Rasulullah said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read for me the Quran. Read me the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was shocked, surprised, maybe shy. He said, ya Rasulullah, you want me to read to you and upon you and for you the Quran, and the Quran was revealed on you? You're the mahir, you're the expert, you're the teacher of the Quran. You want me to read it on you? The Prophet told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni uhibbu an asma'ahu min ghayri. I love to hear it from other than me. I love to hear it from other people. I love to hear it being read. So the Prophet sat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attentively. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I begin to read Surat An-Nisa. He began with Surat An-Nisa, and he said, I came to the ayat in Surat An-Nisa, where Allah Ta'ala mentioned in that ayat, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدًا وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. How is it going to be, Yawmul Qiyamah, Ya Muhammad? if we bring every single nation, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and we bring the witness over that nation, their prophet, their messenger that was sent to them, and then we bring you over this ummah, over this nation. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud read that ayat, he said that the prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hasbuka, stop, stop. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, so I stopped. And I looked up, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَانِ. I looked up and I looked at him, and lo and behold, his eyes were shedding tears. The effect and the impact of listening to the Quran. The scholar said that one of the reasons that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this was to establish and to show Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the rest of this ummah that listening to the Quran is from the sunnah, because the sunnah is what he said, what he did, and when something happened in his presence and he saw it, he heard about it, he knew about it, and he remained quiet, then that thing that was done, it is considered to be the sunnah, because he heard about it and he gave his tacit approval and he remained silent. So by listening to the Quran, the Prophet is showing us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that that's from the sunnah. He brought this religion and he brought this Quran, and by listening to the Quran, he himself was showing it us. It's a lot of rewards in that. And there are just too many examples. The time is flying, but I would really like to take more time out just to go over this aspect of making hajr of the Quran and abandoning the Quran by not listening to it. You're driving to work, you're coming from work, put on the Quran. You're idle, you don't have anything to do, put on the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he was passing by one of his companions. His kunya was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. May Allah be pleased with him. Abu Musa was reading the Quran. Rasulullah passed by. He heard him reading the Quran. He stopped and he listened to him. He stopped and he listened to him. Now you can imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always busy. He's a father. He's a grandfather. He's a husband. He's the Nabi. He's the teacher. He's in control of the army. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has to have dialogue. He has to have discussions. He has to go into negotiations with the people who are non-Muslims in the city. You know, like we're saying, now we're on lockdown with the corona. And before corona, we didn't have time for the Quran. What do we have to say now? What do we have to say now in the month of Ramadan and we're not really engaging in the listening of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? So he was busy. Despite that fact, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to the recitation of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who didn't know that the Prophet was listening to him. And then the Prophet left, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah saw Abu Musa the next day. He said, لو رأيتني وأنا أستمع إلى قراءتك البارحة. If you would have only seen me, you didn't see me, but if you would have only seen me, I was listening to your recitation yesterday, last night. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, I was listening to your recitation. He said, verily you have been given a mizmar from the mazamir of al-Dawood. Al-Dawood, you have been given a flute from the flutes of what Dawood was given. The meaning of flute, not the actual instrument of a flute, which is haram, but Dawood had the Psalms. He had the Zabur, the Zabur. And I remember when I was a Christian, we used to believe very heavily in the Psalms. And I remember reading from the Psalms in our church that we used to go through, alhamdulillah, for al-hidayah, for tawheed, for al-islam. Wa'udhu billahi min al-kufr wal-shirk wal-kadhib wal-khurafat wal-bid'ah. But I remember that, the Psalms of Dawood. He used to praise Allah, and the way he would praise Allah, his voice was amazing. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari's recitation resembled that. So the point here is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he used to listen to the Quran. Look what happened, another example, and there are many. He was waiting for our mother Aisha, his wife, radiallahu anha, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had an appointment with her that she was supposed to come to the house, and he was waiting for her, but she was late getting there. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she came into the house, he said, what happened? Where you been? Responsibility of the husband to ask his wife, to ask those under his authority and his supervision, where you been? Why are you wearing that? Where are you going? Who are you going with? That's his responsibility. He's going to be questioned about that. You know, in these days of Ramadan, unfortunately, every single year in Ramadan, we have this situation where Muslims are killing other Muslims, and Muslims are being killed by other Muslims, gang activity, antisocial behavior. In this masjid, Green Lane Masjid, we try our level best to try to eradicate and address these issues, and I'm doing that right now. This year is no exception to the rule, where in Smedic, about a week ago or so, after Ramadan came in, a group of people, youngsters from our community, they engaged, you know, in some violent activity. And I saw this with my own eyes, and the WhatsApp message was sent to me. And one of the guys took a knife, and he stabbed the guy in his heart. And then he took a step or two back, and then he fell back on his head, and he died. Checked out. Dead. For what? For what? There's no benefit for that. Lost his life for nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's a shame, and it is a set of circumstances that are quite disturbing, quite disturbing. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he has brought a religion for us, a religion that tells us, ikhwani, we have to do our best to engage our community in focusing on the book of Allah. We don't have time for all of this other stuff. The father is responsible for knowing what his children are up to. Who is his child running with, coming with, going with, sitting with, dealing with, talking to? The internet, the PlayStation, all of that. So he said, where you been, Aisha? Why are you late? She said, Ya Rasulullah, on the way. The reason why I was late, it was a religious issue. It was a good thing. I wasn't somewhere making thar-thara with the women, just chewing the cud with the women, talking out of the side of my neck with the women, just, you know, smacking my lips and doing my tongue the way the cow does, just talking kalamphatic. There was a religious reason that caused me to be delayed. And that is, I heard one of your companions reading the Quran, and wallahi, I never heard a recitation like that in my life. The Prophet heard that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, show me. Look how he wants to check it out for himself. He could ask Allah, send Jibril. I want to know who is that. He said, show me. He didn't have the ilm al-ghayb. He wasn't hazir, nazir. He knows the unseen. He's omnipresent. He doesn't know who she was talking about. He wasn't there. That's why he said, why are you late? If he was hazir, nazir, he would have known why she was late. Ya ibadur rahman, billahi alaykum. I ask you by Allah in the month of Ramadan this year, leave off this khurafat. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows the unseen, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is every place simultaneously. La wallahi, kalla. I heard him, ya Rasulullah, let's go. So she took him. He went sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he started listening. He said to her, that's my companion, that's Salim, the free slave of Abu Hudhayfa. And then he said, alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala min ummati mithlu hadha. All praises are due to Allah, who has put in my ummah a person like that. A person like that. Ikhwani, pay attention. The Prophet went, he listened to his companion sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't get jealous at his recitation. Hashalillah. Some of the people, if they find a person from their contemporaries, their friends, their relatives, he reads the Quran with a more beautiful voice, we have hasad, we're jealous, we have haqt, we're against that. Prophet Muhammad didn't say in front of his wife his jealousy, why are you looking at that man? Why are you listening to that man? I know some people, they're jealous, and they don't want their wives listening to this dial, that dial of jealousy. Prophet Muhammad wasn't like that. His wife heard the khair of the kitab of Allah. He said to his wife, that is Salim, the free slave of Abu Hudhayfa. All praises are due to Allah that has put a person like that, made a man like that in my ummah. Why is it important to have a man like that? Because if we have people who are Qurra, reciters of the Quran, and they can read, it'll make us more inclined to come and listen, more inclined to go to Fajr back in New Jersey. And I have to say this, because I have a lot of people that I have love for in New Jersey. There's a masjid called Masjid Ashab al-Yameen. Masjid Ashab al-Yameen, or Fourth Avenue Masjid. They have a brother by the name of a Sheikh Abdulaziz from Africa. Hafiz li kitabillah, mutqin, knows what he's doing with the book of Allah, walhamdulillah. You go and you hear that man's recitation, you'll be hard-pressed not to go to listen to him for Salatul Fajr. That recitation will give you more desire to get up to go listen to this man's recitation. All praises are due to Allah that has made a person like this and put him in my ummah. So if you look at some of these qurra today, you like who you like, I like who I like, she likes who she likes, and so forth and so on. We look at some of these people today. My favorite reciter is the Somali Sheikh, a Sheikh Abdul Rashid Ali Hada. That man can recite that Quran. You listen to him, he makes you want to listen to the Quran. There's a man by the name of Muhammad al-Kurdi, Ra'd al-Kurdi. Tremendous recitation of the Quran. He's from Kurdistan. The man from Sudan, his name is Nurain Muhammad Sadiq al-Sadiq. Tremendous Qurra of the Quran. You listen to that, and mashallah, they connect the hearts of the community to the book of Allah. By listening to the Quran, ikhwani, as I mentioned, the jinn are affected, as it said in Surah Al-Jinn. They listened to the Quran and they were affected by the Quran. The non-Muslims, even the people who make shirk, Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِنْ أَهَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Ya Muhammad, if one of the polytheists, the non-Muslims, if they came to seek your protection, then give them protection so that they can hear the speech of Allah, the Quran. Perchance, perhaps, they are going to be guided. وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فَانْصِتُوا لَهُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَانْصِتُوا لَهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If the Quran is being read, then listen to it and be quiet in the hopes that you have rahmah. By listening to the Quran, being quiet and listening to the Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. There's going to be rahmah as a result of listening to the Quran. The malaika, when someone is reading the Quran in the masjid and the Muslims are learning and reading the Quran, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ajtama'a qawm fi bayti min buyutillah, yatruna kitabullahi, wa yatadarasunahu fi ma baynahu, illa nazalat alayhim ar-rahmah. There is not a group of Muslims who come to the house, the masjid, and they read the Quran and they learn the Quran. Two things that I mentioned. Hajar of the Quran, not to learn it, not to read it. He said, they come to the Quran, the masjid, they hear the Quran. Whenever that happens, Sakina comes down and the Malaika come down. The Malaika come down and they surround them. That is an impact of the Quran. The Mushrikeen of Quraysh, the non-Muslims, they used to hear the Quran and they would embrace the Quran. Allah said about Ahlul Kitab, about the Christians, that when they hear the Quran, those people, as he said, تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. The Christians, when they hear the recitation of the Quran, they listen to it, you will see tears coming out some of their eyes, coming down some of their eyes because of what they know it contains from the truth about what was said about Musa and Isa and what happened and what's going to happen, يوم القيامة. So during the time of the Prophet, this was the situation, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So with that being the case, listening to the Quran, ikhwani, is important. And I conclude by saying, we listen to the book of Allah azza wa jal because in it is guidance, but the mere listening of it and to it gives rahmah and it affects us. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be sitting on his camel. The Quran would come down and the camel would fall down. The revelation would come to him. The Quran would, the camel would fall down. Allah said, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. We're going to reveal to you a statement that is heavy, Ya Muhammad. لو انزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Had we revealed this Quran on a mountain, the mountain would have fell down, fall asunder out of the fear of Allah. So if it hits the heart of a believer, it should affect them. Allah mentioned in the Quran, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Verily the real believers, the true believers, are those people who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. Ya akhi taqi Allah. He takes heed. Ya akhi fi Allah. Ya akhi, Allah said this, Allah said that. The person listens to it. Not like the people who say, man, I ain't trying to hear that. I ain't trying to hear that nonsense. Miss me with that nonsense. That could be a statement of kufr billah. The ayah said, verily the true believers are those people who, when Allah is mentioned, the dhikr of Allah, the Quran, the khutbah, whatever, the dhikr of Allah, their hearts become tranquil and is fearing Allah. And when his ayat are being read, zadatum imana, their iman goes up. Their iman goes up, even if they don't know the meaning of the Quran. They're listening to it and they say, this is the kalam of my Lord. One of the great scholars of Islam from the Tabi'een, his name is Mujahid. Mujahid, he went over the Quran so many times with Abdullah ibn Abbas, more than 10 times. He said, every ayat I would say to Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion, what does this ayat mean? What does that stop them at every ayat? So therefore, if the tafsir comes to you from Mujahid, take it. Whenever Mujahid would read the Quran, out of respect, he would take the Quran, he would say, Kitabu Rabbi, the book of my Lord. And then he would kiss it out of respect. We see that happen with some of our elders. Some of them do this and put it on their head. Don't put it on your head. Just kiss it because the Salaf did that. But some of the brothers look and say, Al-Bid'ah, what are you doing? That's his respect for the Quran. Take it easy. Verily, the true believers are the ones, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful. And when his ayat are read, their iman is increased. And they totally, absolutely depend and they rely on Allah with a tawakkul. Another ayat, and there are many, Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith kitaban mutashabihan mathaniya taqsha'irru minhu julud alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum thumma tulinu juluduhum wa qulubuhum ila dhikrillah. Allah is the one who has revealed the best speech, a book that resembles itself. It says something here, and it said the same thing over here, then it's saying the same thing over here. And then it's saying the same thing over here. It says it the same way or a different way. Mutashabi. It resembles itself. And it is methania. It repeats itself over and over and over and over again. It causes the skin of the believers to tremble. And then their skin and their heart shivers from the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the dhikr of Allah. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ. Give glad tidings to my servants who listen to the Quran and they follow أحسنا. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أحسنا. They follow the best part of it. So brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, listen to the book of Allah. Give some time to the listening of the Quran. When you go back to bed after Fajr, put the Quran on, make it low, listen to it. When you're in the car, listen to it. Anytime you have a farag or free time, try to listen to the book of Allah. Naktafi bihada al-qadr. And we're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his greatest name, his ism al-a'zam, to make us of those people who respect and love to listen to the Quran. They love the Quran, they respect the Quran, and they give a part of the Quran, a part of their lives and time to the Quran. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Quran hujjatun laka aw alik. The Quran will be an argument for you or against you. Did you listen to it? Did you believe it? هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, not to forget to make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal guides my parents to al-Islam and to the Sunnah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Listening to it and putting that in cap.